Today we're going to learn Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph of Maseches Beit. So we are holding on the top line of the page at the two dots. Says the Gemara, we had learned in the Mishnah that betoch hakein umatzel lefnei hakein, that if you had designated birds inside the nest and then you came back on Yontif and you found birds not inside the nest but in front of the nest, asurin, those birds are asur, because you have to assume that the birds that you had set aside before Yontif are gone and the ones that you see here now are brand new birds and they are therefore muktza. So Gemara tries to say maybe this is a raya lema misayele the Rabbi Chanina dam Rabbi Chanina rov karov halachachar rov. Maybe there's a raya Rabbi Chanina, that when you have the two competing principles of rov and karov, of proximity and majority, that you follow the majority, because over here also these birds were found in front of the cane, which is not where the birds you left yesterday were, but it's very close to where the birds you left yesterday were, but the majority of birds come from everywhere else in the world, and we have to assume that these came from the majority, from everywhere else in the world, and not from the proximity, not from the birds that were inside of the cane. So that answers the Gemara, Amar Abaye, it could be that that's not such a good raya, because we could say bidaf, that we're talking specifically over here where there's a plank that that protrudes outside of the nest, and even birds that don't normally rest on it, even birds that are not normally from that same nest will come and rest on it all the time. So that's why you assume that it came from outside. Rava Amar, Rava says, Bishnei kinin zula mala mizuas kinan, that the cases that we're dealing with two nests, one on top of the other, and there were no other nests in the entire area. So the chashash is not because of birds that came from elsewhere. The chashash is birds that came from the other nest. And we don't even need to say that if you designated birds in the lower nest, and you were never designated the birds from the upper nest. And then you find birds in the lower nest, and you don't find any birds in the upper nest. Because we make the assumption that the birds that initially you had designated in the lower nest had gone, and the birds that are there now are muktza birds that had just come down from the upper nest that you had never designated. So that's obvious. But not only that, even if the birds you had designated were in the upper nest, those are the non-muktza birds, and you never designated the birds in the lower nest. And you come back the next day and you find only birds in the upper nest and not in the lower nest. So you might think, okay, now I can assume these are the same birds I had designated. No, hanach nami asiri. These birds too are asir. Because we make the assumption that the ones you had designated are gone, and the ones that you found have climbed up from the lower nest to the upper nest. So it's not only that we make the assumption that a bird would jump down from a higher nest, we even make the assumption that birds might have jumped up from the lower nest, and therefore you cannot assume that it's the same birds. The Mishnah also said, "V'im ein sham elahein," but if in the area around the nest where you had designated the birds before Yontif, all you have are these birds, Hare Elu Mutarin. Then these birds that you find on Yontif are Mutar, because you could make the assumption these are the same ones you had designated before Yontif. So the Gemara tries to clarify, Hey Chidami, what exactly is the case over here? Ilem Ubim for Rachin, if we're talking about birds that are a little bit older and they already know how to fly great distances, so why in the world would that be Mutar? Ikal Neymar Hanachaz Li'alma, wouldn't it be equally plausible to assume that these birds went away? When the birds you found are totally different birds, because these are larger birds that are able to go away and come back. It must be that we're talking about birds that are still hopping, they're not yet flying. Well, if there's another nest within 50 amos, so then we can assume that yes, that they hopped from that nest. But if there's no other nest within 50 amos, Pshita de Mutarin, of course they're going to be Mutar, because Damar Maruk for Bar Chama Toras, that when a bird does not know how to fly, Kala Medade in Medade Yosar Michemishamama. If a bird is going to hop, it's only going to hop up until 50 amos. So if you found a bird birds that do not yet know how to fly, and there's nothing else within 50 amos, there's no other nest within 50 amos, well then obviously these are the birds that you had designated near Erev Yontif, because no other bird could have hopped this far. Says Mar Liom Di Ikakan B'Tocha Mishmam. And maybe we're talking about where there is another nest within 50 amos, and nevertheless, we're not worried that these birds came from that other nest. Ukigon Dekaima B'Karen Zavis, because it could be that there's, let's say, the corner of a building in between these two nests. Mao Dete Madudu Yadudu, one might have thought that we have to be concerned that these birds hopped from one nest to the other, and these are not the same birds you had designated before Yantif. So it comes to teach us that no, you don't have to be concerned about that, because one of the things about the psychology of baby birds is they're only going to continue to hop away from their nest if they could still see their home nest. If they can't see their home, then they're not going to continue to hop. So if there's a Karen Zavis, if there's something blocking, be it from its home to the nest that you found it in, there's no way it came from that other nest. And that's why these birds are in fact mutter. Good, so now we're going to have another machlokas in Hilchas Yantif. Beishamei Omrim, Beishamei says as follows, Ein notlim es ha'ali, we already quoted this Mishnah earlier, a person is not allowed to take the thick piece of wood that they would use to grind wheat on, l'katsev alav basar, in order to chop meat on it, on Yom Tov, u'beisil matir, and Beisil says, sure, you can do that, because this is, you're allowed to use it, you're allowed to be metal to the muktzah, l'tzaruch gufa, as long as you can use it, and you're using it for chopping meat, that's fine. Beishami omrim, another machlokas, Beishami says, ein nosnes ha'or lifnei ha'dorson, you shouldn't put an animal hide in front of people who are going to trample on it. Nor should you lift up an animal hide unless there's a kazayis of meat on it. And Beisil says that it's mutter because of Simchas Yom Tov. If you don't allow the guy to put the animal hide, he's not going to, in front of people who can walk on it and make it useful, he's going to refrain from shechting animals in Yom Tov entirely. And we don't want that to happen. We don't want him to refrain from shechting animals in Yom Tov because we want him to have meat for Yantiv. We want to have Simchas Yantiv. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, when it comes to the first machlokas in the Mishnah about moving the eli, moving the thick piece of wood to chop meat on, the shavin shemakitzev lov basar shosol taltlo. Everyone agrees that if you already chop meat on it and now you don't need it anymore, then you're no longer allowed to move it. Amar Abayi, machlokas pe eli. The whole machlokas is by this thick piece of wood. Aval betabra garmi, but in a machine that breaks bones, which is divrei hakol mutter. If in a tabra garmi is a thing that breaks bones that you would use to chop meat on, everyone would agree that that's mutter. Meaning an eli is something that you use primarily for grain. So it's a question, you want to misuse it for meat. But if you have something that's designated for butchering on it, it's an actual butcher's board, then it's going to be mutter. Pshita, it says in Gemara, isn't that obvious? Eli Tanan. It says Eli in the Mishnah, so obviously it means only an Eli that Beishamai would say is Aser, because it's a Klisha Melech Tal Iser. But something that's used for meat chopping, of course is going to be Mutter and Yantif. Ma'u Dutei, Masa Gemara says, no, I would have thought Hu Adin Dafilu Tavri Garmi Nami. I would have thought that even that which is a butcher's board is also going to be Aser. V'hadu Ketani Eli, and the only reason it says Eli is L'diachah Kochen De Beisilel, to let you know how makel they Beisil is, that Beisil even allows you to be metaltal something that's malachta l'isser, like an eli, kamash malan, that's why it has to tell me that that's not the case, that the machlokas is not about a butcher's board, it's only about an eli. Ika de amri, another version of this discussion is that Abaye himself responded to this question of Pshita. That Amar Abaye responded, Lo nitzrucha lafilu tavri garmi chadati. That the chiddush is that even in a brand new butcher's board, where it's a greater chiddush, the ma'u de tema, one might have thought, lo tavrala, that since it's brand new, maybe we should not allow him to be metaltana, because maybe he'll change his mind and he's not going to want to chop meat on it because it's brand new. Why would he want to ruin it? And then it will turn out that he moved it for no purpose at all. Kamash Milan, that's why he comes to tell us that we're not worried that he's going to change his mind, and therefore it's not Muktza. Now, from Abaye, it's clear that Beis Shammai is not worried that a person is going to change his mind, and that's why Beis Shammai agrees that you're allowed to chop meat on a tavragarmi, on a meat chopping board, on a butcher's board, even if it's brand new. So ask the Gemara, Is Beis Shammai really not worried that you're going to change your mind? Meaning, we just said by the meat board, the brand new meat board, we're not worried that he's going to change his mind and decide not to chop meat on it after moving it. So ask the Gemara, is that true? Is Beis Shammai not worried about changing his mind? Vatanya, but we learn in a Braisa that Beis Shammai, Omer Beis Shammai says if a person wants to shecht the behemah nyantiv and he can't find a shochet or a knife, ein molich and tabach v'saken etzel behemah, you don't bring the shochet or the knife to the behemah v'lo behemah etzel tabach v'saken, nor the behemah to the butcher or to the knife, because we're afraid that after you go through all that tircha of schlepping one thing to the other, you might change your mind. So you see, Beis Shammai is worried that you might change your mind. Beis Shammai says you can bring one to the other. Beis Shammai remain malichin tavlin umadach. We don't bring a small board that they would grind spices on. Eitzel madocha v'lo madocha eitzel tavlin umadach. And we don't bring the equipment to each other to do the spice grinding because we're afraid you're going to change your mind. You're not going to use it. You will have been metaltled for no reason. But Beis Hillel says, I'm not worried about that. So don't you see that Beis Shammai is the one that is worried that you might change your mind? So how can we say over here that Beis Shammai is not worried you're going to change your mind when you move the Eli? So says Mar Hachi Hashta, you can't compare the two. Bishlama Behema Asilim Luche. When it comes to a Behema, he might change his mind. Because he may discover that the Behema that he wanted to shecht is a little bit shvach, and that he thinks he could find a better animal, fatter animal, that will provide him with better meat. And Kiderinami Asilim Luche. And when he's bringing spices also, there's also chashash that he might change his mind. Because he might say, you know, why am I cooking a dish that's so involved, that requires all these spices? I'll bring a different dish that doesn't require spices. But hacha, but when it comes to the butcher's board, what are you going to say? Why would he change his mind? Mimlach v'lotavar, what, he's going to change his mind and he's not going to break the bones, he's not going to butcher the meat? Kiven d'shchata l'tvira kaima. If the animal's already shechted, he's got very little choice. He's going to have to butcher that meat. So that's why Beis Shammai is not concerned that the fellow is not going to butcher the meat, that he's going to change his mind when it comes to the butchering, because there's no reason to change your mind by the butchering. There's plenty of reason to change your mind in the other cases. Now, we also added machlokas in the Mishnah. The Gemara goes on to tell us, Beis Shammai romeno senes ha'or. Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to put the animal hide in front of people who are going to walk on it. And Tana v'shavin shemolchin alav basul etzli. That everyone agrees that you're allowed to salt it. On the hide, you're allowed to salt meat for roasting. And you have in mind that when you're salting the meat, that some of that salt will go on the hide itself. And that way you'll tan the hide. You'll tan the hide with the salt, but under the guise of salting your meat on top of the hide. Amra bai lo shana otzli. That's only true if you're salting the meat just enough to roast it. When you roast it, most of the blood's going to come out anyway, so it doesn't need very much salting at all. Aval kedera lo. But when it comes to salting meat with a significant amount of salt that you would need to cook the meat in a pot, that we wouldn't go so far as to say to allow that on top of the hide, because that is much more blatant, a lot of salt, it's much more blatant that you're doing it as an ibud, as a tanning of the hide. So as Gemara Pshita, the Gemara says, obviously we're only going to allow the amount of salt that you would use for roasting, because after all, litzlitnan, that's what it said in the Mishnah, for roasting. So Gemara says, no, hakam hashmalan, tafil litzli ke'in kedera aser, even if you're salting for tzli with just more salt than usual, the amount of salt that maybe would be more similar to what you would use for a pot roast, still it's going to be aser, even though you do plan on using it for tzli. Now the Mishnah said that you're allowed to protect the aur of the behema that was shechter yantif from any loss, and the Gemara is bringing brisa about protecting the chelev in it. Tan Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Ein molchin esachalavim ve'in mahapchin behen. You're not allowed to salt the fats on yantiv, and you're not allowed to deal with them so that they don't spoil. Mishum Rabbi Shua amru shodchem ruach lagabi yisedos. You're allowed to put them on poles in the wind so that they don't spoil. Amrav Masna halach Rabbi Shua. We pass on like Rabbi Shua. Yikid amir amrav Masna. Ein halach Rabbi Yeshua. Others say that Rav Masna says, no, the halach is dafka, not like Rabbi Yeshua. So ask Gemara. I understand if you say that the Allah is like Rabbi Yeshua, I understand why you have to be mechadish that the Allah is like Rabbi Yeshua. Because I otherwise would have assumed the Allah is not like Rabbi Yeshua because he's a yachid going up against the rabbim, and we always pass like a rabbim against the yachid. That's why you need to tell me that the Allah over here is like the yachid Rabbi Yeshua. Elamand yamar ein Allah pshita. But the one that says Ein Alach Rabbi Yeshua, isn't that obvious? Why do I need to be told that the Alach is not like the Yachid? Yachid Rabbi Alach Rabbi. Of course, the rule is you always go like the majority opinion. So Gemara said, "No, Ma'u Detema Mistaber Taimid Rabbi Yeshua." I might have thought that over here Rabbi Yeshua's opinion makes much more sense. Do you lo sharis lay? Because if you don't allow him to do this, Mimnav lo shachit, then he's not going to shacht at all. Kam Hashmulan. That's why Rav Masna has to tell me that even so, the Alach is not like Rabbi Yeshua, and you're not allowed to put the fats, the chaylev, on the poles in the wind to prevent it from spoiling. So that's why it has to tell it to me. Let's go a little bit further. Let's try to get to the Mishnah. What we've just seen is that the Chacham say you're not allowed to put the fats in the wind on Yom Tov, even though by failing to do that, the chaylev is going to be ruined. And we have to be choshesh that you may not shecht an animal on Yom Tov, and it's going to ruin your Simchas Yom Tov. So it says Gemara, Maishna Me'or Lifnei Adorsan. Why is putting the fats in a place to save them, which we don't allow, any different than putting the or, the hide of the animal, in front of people who are going to step on it? And that we do allow, because we're afraid that if we don't allow that, you're going to end up not shechting on Yom Tov. Why don't we have that same concern with the fat? So the Gemara says, no, Hasam Lomuch Milsa Mishum Demechsin Mizgalei. Over there, by putting the or down in front of the people who are going to trample on it, it's not so clear that you're doing that for the tanning of the hide, because you could use the or to sit on Shabbos. So Mela, people are going to say that the reason the Chum allowed it is because it's ro'i to sit on, so there's a tzarech Yom Tov. No one's going to come and say, oh, you're allowed to do Ibur Oros on Yom Tov. But over here with the fats, I see the member, my time is Shalei Rabbanon, Kech Lelisrach, that apparently everyone's going to realize that the Rabbanon allowed this so that it not spoil. So I might as well just do the salting of it, which will also keep it from spoiling. But that would be absolutely forbidden. Now the halacha is you're allowed to be Molech Basar on Yom Tov in order to eat it that day. You're just not allowed to salt meat that's not designated for that day. So the Gemara says that there's a situation where you're going to be allowed to be salt meat even if you're not going to eat it that day. What's that situation? Amar Vidom Shmuel, Molech Adam Kama Chatichos Basar Basachas Afal Pishe Notzarech El Chaticha Achas. If you're salting a lot of meat at one time, even though you're not going to eat all that meat, you're only going to eat one piece, you're allowed to salt. This is what we call Riboy Beshiurim, that you're allowed to do more than what you actually need as long as it's all the same act. It's the same act of salting. Another way that you're allowed to do it, Ravad Barava, Ma'arim Malach Garma Garma. He would salt one piece at a time, meaning after he would salt one piece for that day, he would say that, nah, I'm not in the mood for that piece. I want a different piece. And then he would salt the other piece. And then he'd say, nah, I'm not in the mood for that piece. I want a different piece. And through that Ha'arama, he would manage to be able to salt whatever it is that he actually needed. Okay, but next time we'll pick up with the Mishnah on Yeralef Amidbeis.